we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. This evening, we continue our preview of Sunday's Minova Frankfurt Marathon in Germany. One of the fastest female runners in Frankfurt was born in Kenya, but now represents Israel in international competition. And the energetic Andy Edwards introduces us now to her. Here's Andy.
Lorna Salpeter is, one of the best marathon runners in the world this year, and she's in the Minova Frankfurt Marathon on Sunday. After a disappointing time in the World Championships Marathon in Doha, she dropped out there, but she's really made headlines this year, breaking that 2 hours 20 barrier in winning Prague. Lorna, the previous marathon you ran was 2:24. Then 2:19:46 in Prague, both national records for Israel. That's your adopted country. You're born in Kenya. You do some training in Kenya still. Firstly, just give us a little summary of how you came to be running for Israel. I understand you went to Israel from Kenya to be the ambassador's nanny for his children. So tell us more.
I moved to Israel in 2008, December. So I was working like nanny for like four years. So, but his wife went to Australia. So after he come back, so I see nothing I do in the house. So I start like jogger. So I joined jogger's group in the park. And then I met someone, and then he introduced me to some coach. He tell me, you have good talent. And then I tell, yeah, I always run in high school. So I compete sometimes like for kids. So, and then when I join them, they give me club. And then I start to have like races, I start my 10K in Israel. 47-minute 10K for my...
So it seems that in Kenya you ran in school, like, but you were not... Outstanding. It's when you came to Israel, you met, well, the man who became your husband, is your husband and your coach, and things changed.
It didn't change so much. I was starting like amateur athlete, like doesn't know what is. I win the race, I'm happy, 35 minutes, so without like having goals. You know, when you have goals, you can train more, but I was like, oh, I'm good, so because I don't know how good I am.
And you've been more than good. You've won European title at 10,000 metres on the track in Berlin last year. You perhaps could have won the 5,000, but you didn't count the laps right. And now it really, I mean, a big talking point was to break 2:20 in the marathon, and you did it by about 5 minutes. Mm. That's big progress. You're running in Frankfurt on Sunday. Frankfurt's a fast course. Do you think you can improve on that personal best?
For now, I cannot say what I'm going to run because my mind is still like developing up from what happened in the few months ago. So I don't have just go run, enjoy, see what will come. So this is my goal. So
you dropped out of the World Championship Marathon in Doha. Has that had an effect on you? I mean, in terms of your body, the conditions were very tough, especially for the women's marathon. Has that really hurt you?
It didn't really hurt me. It give me I learned something from it. So, sometimes you have to be. Sometimes things go there is challenge in life. You have to fall down and wake up like a small kid. Yes, you see small when they are growing. They fall down, but they don't give up. So this is my challenge.
Do you think that psychologically now there are more women running 2:19 or breaking 2:20 in the marathon? I mean, it's still an outstanding achievement, but of course the numbers are growing. So it will be one day not a big deal because we look at Bridget Koskay, breaking the world record by 4 minutes, 2:14:04. I mean, that's kind of taking it to another planet.
This is what they say, like, Kipchoge said there is no limits. Human doesn't have limits. It's only our mind that we have to limit, because you think 214 is too crazy. But it's not crazy after you train. So I think when you train, it's much easier, because psychologically you train your mind and you believe in yourself, so you can do it. So without any problem, because even Bridget was saying that he was singing 215, 215, 215, so he was mentally ready. So, but when you ask, even me in the first time to start marathon, I was seeing 42 kilometers is so crazy. So that's why I didn't perform nothing. So in my mind, I still like have limits. So after I don't have limit, I see like I start, even they give me 30K, I like, oh my God, when am I going to finish?
Well, Lorna, we hope that you set yourself no limits on Sunday in the Manova Frankfurt Marathon. Very excited to see you run. Thanks very much, Lorna Salpeter.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
And I expect Tatiana McFadden will be competing for more medals in women's wheelchair racing at next year's Paralympics in Tokyo, Japan. As Tatiana said, she's won 7 gold medals at the Paralympics, 4 at Rio 2016, and 3 at London 2012. Ethiopia's defending champions and course record holders Fikadu Teferi and Bekele Beji are aiming to retain their titles in the men's and women's races in Sunday's Changsha International Marathon in China. The 26-year-old Teferi clocked 2 hours, 11 minutes, and 13 seconds to win in Changsha last year. And the 20-year-old Beji set a new women's course record last year with a time of 2 hours, 32 minutes, and 56 seconds. In Italy, the Kenyan Andrew Ben Kimutai will start as one of the favorites in Sunday's Venice Marathon in Italy. The 30-year-old Kimutai has the fastest personal marathon best of the athletes in Venice. He clocked 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 32 seconds in last year's Seville Marathon in Spain. And this year, Kimutai won the Wuhan Marathon in China in 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 6 seconds. In the women's race in Venice, another Kenyan, Cynthia Cherop, has been tipped as the favorite. Cynthia finished second place behind Ethiopia's Askale Marachi at the Los Angeles Marathon in March. Cherop's time in Los Angeles was 2 hours, 25 minutes, and 54 seconds. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. The Rugby World Cup semifinals will be played this weekend in Yokohama, Japan. On Saturday, England will play New Zealand. And on Sunday, Wales will meet two-time world champion South Africa. The South Africans have not fared well in their recent matches against the Welsh, as we hear now from VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In their previous four meetings, South Africa has fallen to Six Nations champions Wales. And now the Springboks are preparing for Sunday's reunion without their standout winger, Cheslin Kolbe, who has been sidelined with an ankle injury. South Africa head coach Rossi Erasmus says losing Kolbe for their upcoming match is a big blow, but he has full confidence in Kolbe's replacement, Sbu Nkosi.
It is a big blow. I think everybody knows the quality of play he is and the contributions he made. But I think if we looked purely at his performance in the previous game, his ankle definitely had an influence on his performance and the way he performed previously. And we just feel a fully fit Sabu, and the way Sabu has been performing, you know, if you compare the two, you know, a 70% Cheslin isn't better than 100% Sabu. So it is a blow, but then again, you know, we've got full confidence in Sabu, and especially the way he's been playing. He certainly deserves his chance.
South Africa are just two wins away from hoisting the World Cup trophy for a third time, having won the title in 1995 and 2007. 4 years ago, South Africa was eliminated in the knockout stage when they lost to Japan in one of the most shocking upsets in rugby history. But the Springboks got their revenge last weekend when they ended Japan's World Cup run with a crushing 26-3 victory. But as they prepare for Sunday's match, Coach Erasmus says the two-time champions are still feeling the pressure to reclaim their spot as number one in the world.
I think we're under pressure the last couple of years to redeem ourselves. You know, we've been number 5, 6, 7 in the world over the last 3, 4 years since 2015. And we've got some proper hidings against, you know, almost all the teams. We've lost to Italy. We've lost to Japan. We've been beaten by 57 points, by 39 points to 3 against Ireland. So I think some people have lost a lot of faith in us at some stages. So we've got a different challenge all in all. We just try to get, in the beginning, respect back so people start believing in us again as a team. That was the pressure for us. And now we're at that stage where, you know, we want to become number one in the world again.
But first, South Africa has to get past Wales on Sunday and possibly the reigning World Cup champions, New Zealand, in the final. New Zealand head coach Steve Hansen spoke ahead of his Saturday semifinal match against England, where he called on the Six Nation countries to work with World Rugby to establish a global calendar that would ensure regular play between Northern and Southern Hemisphere nations. Hansen added his regular meetups with South Africa makes them New Zealand's biggest rival. However, he says the lack of regular play between the two hemispheres means there is no traditional rivalry between the sides.
South Africa is always going to be our biggest rival, because of all the history that comes with it and just the nature of the fact that we play each other so regularly. You know, I think we've played England once in the last 6 years. So it's hard to build a rivalry when you don't play each other. But if we could get the Six Nations to come on board with a global season, we'd be able to do that. But, you know, once they do that, then they're starting to think about the game rather than themselves.
Well, it seems New Zealand's head is in the game. The reigning champions are on an 18-game winning streak in World Cup matches, and the All Blacks are bidding for a third consecutive title and a fourth overall. Former fullback Israel Dagg was part of New Zealand's World Cup winning squad in 2011, and he says the team's fierce competitiveness is the driving force for their unprecedented success.
Well, I think this team's very competitive at the moment. You've got guys in the squad that can play in any other team, you know, but they're not even starting in the All Blacks. But that's just how this is what it means. Like, no one's given the jersey. You've got to earn it, you've got to work hard for it, and if you're not performing, then, you know, someone else will take that opportunity. And, you know, guys get excited, people want to make the team, so they have good off seasons, they work really hard, they play really well during the year, Super Rugby, they've shown form, and then they get rewarded with a game and the All Blacks, and they take the opportunity. So it's just all about those moments and taking it.
If New Zealand and South Africa win their semifinal matches, they will face each other in the championship for the first time since 1995. That year, South Africa defeated New Zealand 15-12 to clinch their first World Cup title. Stay tuned for the results of the semifinals as we head to the championship set for Saturday, November 2nd. And that does it for me for the week. Sonny, it's back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Well, there's lots of excitement here in Washington as the city gets ready to host its first World Series baseball game in 86 years. Yes, I think you might say there's ballpark fever. Of ballpark fever here in Washington as the Washington Nationals prepare to host the Houston Astros later Friday night in Game 3 of Major League Baseball's 115th World Series. The Nationals lead the Astros 2-0 in the best-of-seven championship series. The Nationals are bidding for their first World Series title in team history, while the Astros won their only World Series trophy in 2017. Sports can sometimes act to bridge bitter divides between long-standing rivals. A similar unifying force could be at work, at least temporarily, with the World Series here in Washington. Democrats and Republicans are coming together to support the Washington Nationals. VOA's Brian Padden reports.
In the nation's capital, thousands of Washington National fans of all political stripes came to watch parties in their home ballpark this week as their team won the first 2 games of a best-of-seven baseball championship series against the Houston Astros in Texas.
I think it just gives us something bigger to do and something bigger to focus on and gives us all something to be a part of and pay attention to and fall in love with all at once.
The Nationals' first ever World Series appearance is a joyful spectacle in a city often consumed by bipartisan battles. Political tensions in the nation's capital are at an all-time high, with Democrats holding an impeachment inquiry of President Donald Trump and many Republicans crying foul.
Oh my God, he got him first!
In the midst of the acrimony, national fans are finding ample reason to root and cheer in unison, regardless of party affiliation.
I think it brings everyone together. Everyone with different political opinions, different other viewpoints in life.
Some fans hope a sense of unity sparked by the Nationals will reduce partisan strife in the city.
I think it will bring everybody together. It should. After the Nationals win, I think both parties should come together and be one.
Sports can open the door to political reconciliation. In 2016, relations between North and South Korea improved significantly after the two rivals participated together in the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics. Other national fans are less optimistic that a winning baseball team will lessen Washington's partisan divide.
Honestly, I don't think it'll last. I mean, it kind of ebbs and flows, you know? We're like at each other's necks for a while, and then something bonding happens.
Washington sports teams have been on a roll. The Washington Mystics professional female basketball team won its first ever title earlier this month. Last year, the Washington Capitals ice hockey team won its first Stanley Cup championship. Win or lose, the Nationals already are the toast of Washington, giving the city a welcome diversion when it needs it most. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Brian. In National Basketball Association news, the six-time NBA champion Golden State Warriors played their first regular season game Thursday night in their new multi-million dollar Chase Arena in San Francisco, California. But the Los Angeles Clippers crashed the party with a big win over the Warriors, as we hear now from the AP's Ryan Leong.
The Clippers spoiled the grand opening for the Warriors' new Chase Center as Los Angeles rolled over Golden State 141-122. LA had seven players scoring double figures, led by Lou Williams, 22 points off the bench. Kawhi Leonard added 21 points and a career-high 9 assists.
Hopefully the goal is to win a championship, you know what I mean? But it's hard to say. Guys have to stay healthy. We still got to keep going, make sure. You know, we have some luck in that category of being healthy and just keep moving from there.
The Warriors trailed the entire game and were behind 14-0 before they scored a basket. In the loss, Stephen Curry scored 23 points.
There's some glaring things that we need to kind of correct if we're going to, you know, win basketball games consistently.
Ryan Leong, San Francisco.
Thanks, Ryan. From San Francisco, let's go to Houston, Texas, where Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks defused the Houston Rockets. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston.
Giannis Antetokounmpo finished with a triple-double as the Milwaukee Bucks overcame a 16-point second-half deficit and beat the Houston Rockets 117-111. Antetokounmpo scored 30 points, grabbed 13 rebounds, and dished out 11 assists, despite fouling out with 5:18 to play. But the Bucks outscored the Rockets after he left the game. Antetokounmpo says his team figured things out after the slow start.
He wasn't playing the best basketball we can play, but at the end of the day, we stick together, play together. As I said, the chemistry is amazing. We've got to keep working on that.
In his Rockets debut, Russell Westbrook led the Rockets with 24 points and 16 rebounds, while James Harden added 19 points, but he shot just 2 of 13 from the field. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. In one more NBA result Thursday night, the Atlanta Hawks opened their season with a 117-100 win over the host Detroit Pistons. 42-year-old Vince Carter played 10 minutes for the Hawks, becoming the first player in league history to see action in 22 NBA seasons. Hey, Vince, you get a Sunny Side of Sports salute. And that wraps up the October 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
On Encounter, host Carol Castiel talks about the strategic implications of the U.S. troop withdrawal from Syria, which paved the way for a Turkish incursion and an assault on allied Kurd forces. This decision may have precipitated the resurgence of the so-called Islamic State, which had been contained by joint U.S.-Kurdish efforts. Listen for it on Encounter this Saturday and Sunday.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one I judge. This one I judge.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the first ever Russia-Africa summit in Sochi marks a new era of economic, military, and political engagement between Russia and the continent. We'll take a closer look on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
If you're an optimist and tend to look at the bright side of life, a new study led by Boston University may have some good news for you. The study authors found evidence that suggests optimists indeed live longer. To reach their findings, the researchers analyzed data involving thousands of men and women that was gathered over a 30-year period. The study finds that most optimistic men and women, on average, had an 11 to 15% longer lifespan and had 50 to 70% greater odds of reaching 85 years old compared to those who were the least optimistic. So, it might be a good idea to take a clue from the comedy group Monty Python.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life.
I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
October 24th was World Polio Day. This year's celebration was special since it was officially announced that the wild polio virus type 3 has been globally eradicated. Coming up on the science edition of Press Conference USA, Rick Pantaleo and VOA health reporter Carol Pearson talk about the progress made and challenges that remain in ridding the world of this scourge. Listen Saturday and Sunday.